April is just 72 hours away, and it's one of my favorite months of the year. That's because April is Financial Literacy Month. Hi, I'm Rob West. This event began some two decades ago to raise awareness about the critical need for financial literacy. It's just as important as learning to read and write. I'll talk about it first today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, I know it's not quite April yet, but we want to give you a head start on gaining financial literacy. It's important because if you don't know how to set up a budget, handle credit cards responsibly, or figure out how much car or house you can afford, well, you'll run into all sorts of trouble. And guess what? Financial literacy is just another way of knowing and following God's financial principles for earning and saving money. Now, a recent article in the Wall Street Journal laid out six practical things you need to know to be financially literate, so why don't we go over each of them one by one? The first is knowing the power of compound interest and how it works and that it can work for you or against you. When you save, your interest is compounded. That means at some point it's added to your principal, making it larger. Then you're paid more interest on your larger balance, and so on. The earlier you start saving, the more time your balance has to grow at an ever-accelerating rate. Here's an example. Let's say you're 20 and you invest $5,000 a year for 10 years and then stop. Over the next 30 years, at an annual return of 7%, your balance will be $600,000. But if you wait until age 30 to start and invest the same $5,000 a year for the next 30 years, do you think you'll have more? Nope. Your balance will only be $540,000. So the earlier you start, clearly the better off you'll be. By the way, I said compound interest can work against you too. If you use a credit card and don't pay it off each month, the interest is added to your balance, meaning you'll owe even more. That leads us to the next lesson for financial literacy, so-called good debt. This is debt you take on with a reasonable expectation that the return you'll get will be more than what you have to pay in principal and interest. Some examples would be borrowing to start a business if you expect that your revenues for the business will be enough to cover the loan and give you enough to live on. Buying a house would fall into the category of good debt because in most years, homes appreciate in value. A student loan also because if you finish with a degree that gives you marketable skills, you can reasonably expect to earn more than the loan will cost you, but be careful to borrow as little as possible for education. Far better to save for it ahead of time, again, using compound interest in your favor, like with a 529 education savings plan. On the outside edge of good debt could be a car loan if you need it for transportation to get a job, but make as big a down payment as possible and continue to save when the loan is paid off so you can eventually buy a car with all cash. Okay, our next financial literacy lesson is about your credit utilization rate. That's how much credit you have versus what you owe, as spelled out in your credit report, which affects your credit score. You should never owe more than 30% of your available credit because it will lower your score, resulting in having to pay a higher interest rate if you need another loan. The next lesson is called Pay Yourself First. This simply means that you should put something into savings each pay period before you spend any money. Set up an automatic transfer from your checking account into savings and let the bank do the work for you. The next is diversification, another of God's financial principles. Ecclesiastes 11:2 says, "Give a portion to seven or even to eight, for you know not what disaster may happen on the earth." It simply means to divide your investments among different stocks, mutual funds, bonds, and other securities. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. You can also diversify your assets for tax purposes. For example, contribute to your employer's 401k or 403b with pre-tax money, but also open a Roth IRA and invest after-tax money in it. It's great to have something in each bucket if you can do it. Okay, our last financial literacy lesson is something called liquidity. And all that means is that you can get to your money when you need it. If that sounds like an emergency fund, you're exactly right. Your retirement accounts and even CDs and money markets are not the place to keep funds that you may need at a moment's notice. Keep 3 to 6 months living expenses in a savings account at an online bank to get the best interest rate possible. So those are your 6 lessons. We hope you'll use April, Financial Literacy Month, to start putting them into practice. I'm Rob West, and your calls are next, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. There was an old theologian by the name of Marcion. He taught that the God of the Old Testament was a severe and brutal God, that the Lord of the New Testament was a God of love, light, and salvation. He thought the law given in the Old Testament was harsh, burdensome. In fact, many people still believe this today. They won't say it quite like that, of course, but they think the Lord of the Old Testament is mean. But even when he gave the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, verse 1, God said, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Egypt." Obedience is grounded in salvation. Remember that, yesterday and forever, the Lord remains the same. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Sandy Rios 24/7. It's not a morning show, it's an all-day show, fueled by the wit and wisdom of Sandy Rios.
If you have a smartphone, I think you should download the AFR app.
Sandy Rios 24/7 is on the podcast page at AFR.net.
I have, you know, so many listeners from the radio show who are now listening to the podcast.
Sandy Rios 24/7.
You live my prayers all the time.
Sandy Rios 24/7 on the podcast page at AFR.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. It's time for your calls and questions today. What are you thinking about? We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Maybe you're a brand new first-time caller. You've never called into the program before. We'd welcome your call. We'll put you on anonymously if you'd like, but here's our promise to you: to be encouraging, hopeful, to bring biblical principles to bear to help you make today's financial decisions. The number to call is 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open, and we can tackle any financial subject you'd like. I'd also love to hear your testimonies today. Perhaps you have a story of God's faithfulness in your life and here in the last few weeks, or maybe it's been decades. You've seen God at work as you've applied his timeless wisdom from the Bible. Whatever it might be today, give us a call. Again, lines are open at 800-525-7000. Hey, let me mention quickly before we dive into your calls today that I'll be in Tupelo for the AFA Foundation Town Hall. It's April the 20th. 20th from 6 to 8 in the evening, downtown Tupelo. Riley Wildman, director of the AFA Foundation, will be there. Wesley Wildman, AFA VP of Outreach, will be there. And I'll be sharing on, really from a biblical perspective, a view of investing, giving, and leaving a lasting legacy. We'll talk about how you can be intentional as a steward to really transfer not only wisdom and character, but also wealth to the next generation. We'll cover a host of topics. And again, we'd like to invite you. Seating is limited, but you can register at no cost at afa.net/events. That's afa.net/events. Or you can call 800-326-4543, extension 205. And we'll look forward to seeing you on April the 20th in Tupelo. All right, let's begin today in Michigan. Hi, Debbie. How can I help you?
Hi. I was just wondering, I would like to do some investing in stocks, and I would like to know how we can tell if that stock is based on biblical values, that doesn't invest in porn or prostitution or money laundering or something like that.
Yeah, that's a great question. So what's exciting here, Debbie, is that there's a whole growing industry around what I call faith-based investing, where as a believer, we can form our own convictions. And I believe this is a conviction or a conscience matter. We don't see definitively in God's word that we're not to buy companies on the secondary market, you know, in certain categories, and we are in others. I think this is something we each need to wrestle through and be fully convinced in our own minds. But based on where each of us come out on that, we can then apply those convictions to our investment decisions and buy investments or avoid other investments that are either aligned or misaligned with our Christian values. And that's a really exciting thing. Now, you can go about it a couple of ways. First is how you want to apply your values. And I think there's really three categories of this. The first is avoid. And that's where you're, and this is, I think, what you're getting at. How do I avoid those companies that are misaligned with my values as a believer? Either they're using their corporate profits to support initiatives and programs, maybe advocating for things that don't align with my values, and so I want to eliminate them, or their primary business activity is something that's misaligned with my values. So, you know, they produce alcohol or tobacco, or, you know, maybe it's a drug company that's making an abortion pill. I mean, whatever it might be, we want to be able to avoid those companies if that's our conviction. I think alternatively, we can embrace other companies that are having a kingdom impact. Maybe they're promoting human flourishing. It's a company that's contributing to the common good. We can screen in those companies, and that's another opportunity. I think the third category is what I call engage, and that's where, as an owner of a company, whatever it is, and I might be a very small percentage owner, but nevertheless, I'm an owner. If I'm a stockholder, I can let my values be known to company leadership through proxy voting and, you know, being a part of a shareholder meeting, sending a communication to investor relations that I don't like decisions that are being made. And so I can actually advocate for my Christian values. And I think then we have to decide, okay, which of those three or all of them do we want to be involved in? And then we can apply that to actual stock purchases, and that's what you're asking about today, or we can buy mutual funds where the whole fund's objective includes to being faith aligned, and there's a growing number of investment providers that do that. So with that backdrop, let's get to your specific question. How do you look at an individual company and understand if there's activities going on that don't align with my Christian values? Well, there's a number of tools out there. One of the simplest, and it's absolutely free, is on the web at inspireinsight.com. So, Debbie, you just head to the web and type in inspireinsight.com. What you'll find there is the ability right there at the top of the page to type in a ticker symbol, a company name, or even a mutual fund name, and then do a search, and it will actually pull from hundreds and hundreds of sources to really help you evaluate that company in light of your Christian values. And you'll be able to see a lot of information, perhaps way more than you're even interested in to be able to make that decision. And they have, you know, biblical values data on about 41,000 different companies in this database. So I think that could be a great starting point for you as you begin to evaluate some of these companies. Is that helpful?
Yes, it is. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you, Debbie, for your call today. You're very welcome. By the way, if you're looking for some of these mutual fund families and ETFs, and I'm talking just generally now to all of you listening, that are faith-based investment companies because you want to align your values with your investments and you'd like to learn more about some of these world-class investment fund families, you can download a resource that has a listing of all of these funds at faithandinvesting.com/FaithFi. I think that will be a helpful tool for you. Again, faithandinvesting.com/FaithFi. All right, let's head back to the phones to Louisiana. Hi, Charlie. Go right ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm on my way today to sit with a financial advisor that my father, who is 85 years old, has been using for a number of years. And they had convinced him to sign into a single premium deferred annuity for $1 million that he had in cash at 85 years old. And this makes no sense to me. How do I get him out of this? Is there any advantage to him to what he has done? Because he is convinced that this was a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, how long has it been? I mean, you generally have only 10 days to reconsider and back out with an annuity contract.
He signed into this December 27th.
Okay. Yeah. So that time has passed and there's going to be some significant surrender charges for him to be able to get out of this. What was the objective? Is he looking for an income stream or what was the objective in the advisor selling him this?
In his mind, he simply thought that he was moving out of stocks and that he was going to have a guaranteed rate of return on his money. What he doesn't understand is he surrendered that money. Yeah, and he doesn't have liquidity. He thought it was an investment when he bought a product. Yeah. And I asked him, how did you get educated on this? He made this decision over a phone call with his advisor.
Yeah, that's really disheartening. I've got to take a quick break, Charlie. If you've got a few minutes, you stay right there. Let's pick this conversation up on the other side of the break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, and they were very caring. What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got one line open, 800-525-7000 for your questions and calls. Just before the break, we were talking to Charlie in Louisiana. He's going to see an advisor who he believes really placed pressure on his 85-year-old father to buy into a very large immediate annuity. And he is pretty confident that his dad didn't understand what he was getting into and just wondering how to go about this. And Charlie, you know, you and I know that this probably was not what your dad realized he was getting into. I mean, the disadvantages of this immediate annuity is obviously, you know, they typically have very little interest, so it may or may not keep up with inflation. You'll lose control of your money when you purchase an immediate annuity, and that may be the big one that your dad didn't understand. There's often no liquidity, so you can't get to the money without significant surrender penalties. And then many of them don't even have a death benefit. So, you know, you don't have anything to pass on to your heirs when you pass away. So, you know, I mean, why would anybody buy one? Well, if you want basically an income stream for life that's guaranteed with a floor to, you know, ensure that you don't lose money, you don't have fluctuations in the sense that you know, okay, at least I have this amount coming in for the rest of my life, and that's going to allow me to meet my obligations. But what am I giving up in exchange for that? And that's just immense. If you feel like there was, you know, obviously he was manipulated or he was misled in some way, there wasn't proper disclosures, obviously you could pursue that. But if this was just your dad, you know, having full knowledge and being a little older and not understanding quite what he was getting into, but going ahead and signing off on it, there's probably little recourse other than just to let this advisor know that, you know, your dad didn't end up with what he expected. And, you know, you're going to have to work through that. It's a terrible, unfortunate situation if he in some way took advantage of him. And the reality with annuities is they are in just about every case sold and not bought. And what I mean by that, people don't go in saying, I think I want an annuity. You know, they're talked into it in many cases when it's not maybe the best option. I'm not saying there's never the right time for an annuity. In some cases, there is. But the key is, did he understand what he was getting into? And what I'm hearing from you is, doesn't sound like he did. Is that right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So sitting with this advisor today, if I were to ask him three questions, what would those three questions I should ask?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing is talking to your dad and just understanding what he believes he purchased. Does he understand that he gave up control of the money when he purchased this immediate annuity?
No, he does not.
Okay. And so I think that's the first question is, my dad is not under the impression and is not aware of the fact that in purchasing this annuity, he gave up access to his money. Why is that? Because it doesn't sound like there was a whole lot of education there. I think secondly, what are our options at this point if my dad, you know, doesn't want this and, you know, he wants to be able to get control of this money. And then thirdly is, what did we actually buy? You know, what is the guaranteed return on it? Is there a death benefit? You know, how do we access the funds? What happens, if my dad passes away next year, what happens to the money? I mean, you're going to want to understand the inner workings of this particular policy itself. But then beyond that, I think, if there's a misalignment between what was bought and what the understanding was of what was bought, why is that? And how can we rectify the situation?
So there's really no easy way out here, obviously.
No, there's not, because I suspect, unless there wasn't proper disclosures, but I'm sure there was. I'm sure your dad, signed all the documents disclosing exactly what he was getting into. He just may not have fully understood what that meant. But as long as, that was all done in order, he's stuck with this product and without the surrender charges that are going to be imposed with him trying to get out of it.
One last question. Why would a so-called financial advisor ever do this? I mean, obviously, it must be a very high commission product sale for him.
Oh, absolutely. It's a very high, $1 million immediate annuity is going to pay significant fees. Now, if we, say that this guy had your dad's best interest in heart, he may or may not have. If he did, he was trying to provide him a guaranteed income stream, which can give retirees peace of mind to know that, they've got this money for the rest of their lives. But that's a significant chunk of money. And to lock that up and lose control over it, I just don't understand how that could be in the best interest of the client. And so from that standpoint, you'd have to default to, well, if it wasn't the right product for him, then the only reason he would have done it is because there is a significant commission being paid.
Right. Well, yeah. I really appreciate you taking my call.
Absolutely, Charlie. Hey, let us know how it turns out. We'll ask the Lord to give you some wisdom here as you navigate that conversation. God bless you. To Arkansas. Hi, Victoria. You're next on the program. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for having me. So I'm a single mom of two kids. I'm a server, and I make around $700 to a little over $1,000 a week, depending on the season. I have bad credit. It's like a 5-something, because I have like a little over $1,000 in credit card debt. And so I'm guessing, I just gave my heart back to the Lord not long ago, and I started tithing 10% a week. And so I guess my next question is, where do I go after that to help my credit? So first is out is my tithe. Then what do you suggest I do to help this credit?
Yeah. So, first of all, I'm delighted to hear that you've recommitted your life to Jesus, and that's the best decision you can ever make, Victoria. So I'm thrilled to hear you share that and give testimony to that fact today. What is your credit score? Have you pulled your credit score recently?
Credit Karma says it's around a 600, but whenever I applied for a bank credit card, it said it was like a 540.
Okay. And what is pulling it down? Is it a lack of credit, or did you say that there was late payments or negative information?
So there's like a loan from a couple years ago I stopped paying on for like $1,000. Okay. Through one of those little loan places,
Yep.
And I've got about 3 credit cards that are maxed out. They were only $300 a piece, so they're sitting about $400 to $600 right now because of interest.
Got it. Okay, let's do this. I'm going to give you a rundown of kind of your next steps based on how the scoring algorithm works. We're going to do that just after the break. So you stay right there. Much more to come on Faith and Finance. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio, where we apply the wisdom from God's Word, the principles, the timeless counsel to your financial decisions and choices. We've got a couple of lines open, 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we were talking to Victoria in Arkansas. She's got an old account that she has not paid on, that was showing up on her credit report as being past due, and that plus a lack of credit has her credit score down in the perhaps 500, certainly low 600. She's wondering, now that she's trying to get her financial life back on track, she's recommitted her life to the Lord, she's giving regularly, how does she get that credit score up? And Victoria, you have to, I think, start with what makes up the credit score. The biggest portion of your credit score is based on your payment history and something called credit utilization, which is just the available credit versus the balances that you have. And that, combined with this negative information that you've had in the past, a lack of credit currently, high credit utilization, you know, all of that's hurting you. So we need to take steps to kind of move beyond that. Let's start with the credit utilization piece. So do you have open credit cards right now that are active?
I have one open credit card for a $300 limit that's active. The other three, I never finished paying on and they charged off. So okay. They're sitting in there just waiting for me to pay them.
Got it. And what's the balance across those accounts that have been charged off?
A little over $1,000 because they were only $300 a piece.
Got it. Okay. And do you have a surplus right now when you look at your monthly budget? Do you have something beyond the minimum on the open credit card that you could apply to debt reduction?
Yeah. What I've been doing is I've been just like kind of using my credit card to pay for stuff, and then I go and pay it off in full.
Okay.
Like the next week.
Yep. That's great. Do you have a spending plan? Have you taken the time to kind of write out all of your expenses, both fixed and discretionary?
Nothing. I kind of was just inspired by you this morning to start. So.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. Well, I think that's the next step, is really to get that spending plan in place. So we need to take, you know, to start with the first 30 days. So, you know, maybe as we start this new month of April, you carry a little journal around with you or download the FaithFi app at our website, faithfi.com. However you'd like to do it, whether it's smartphone or paper, doesn't matter. But the key is we need to capture all of your expenses, both those things you get a bill for and those things you don't. So, you know, utilities, you get a bill in the mail every month. Eating out, or, you know, groceries or clothes or entertainment, you you don't, but we need to get all that in one place. And then we need to make some hard decisions on where can we cut back so we can free up margin. Because the first thing we need is to be able to live on a budget and have a surplus left over, because that's the only way you're going to accomplish your longer term goals. Secondly, we need an emergency fund. Until you get all these credit cards paid off, you know, I would say I'd love for you to have, you know, somewhere between $500 and $1,000 in your emergency fund. And then let's just stick with that while you're focused on the credit cards. That's going to break the cycle if something comes out of left field that's unexpected of you having to run back to those credit cards. And I realize there's only one active right now and it has a very small limit. So you're not going to, you know, go crazy with that. You won't be able to. But nevertheless, I want you to have something to fall back on when the unexpected comes. So do you have any liquid savings right now beyond just the money that's flowing through your checking account, paycheck to paycheck?
No, not right now, but I'm okay. About to do it.
Yeah, good. So let's target $500 to $1,000. Let's put that in a separate savings account. Maybe open that at Marcus or Capital One 360. Link it to your checking account, but let's get it out of the checking account so it doesn't get used. And once you get to either $500 or $1,000, you decide. Now we're going to focus on the credit cards. At that point, now that we've generated a surplus because you're living on this balanced budget, we need to really do two things. Number one is we need to try to get that open account down and paid off so that it's only being used for budgeted items and it's paid in full. And that's key. And then the second thing we want to do is build up a little bit of a nest egg so that we can go to each of those charge-off accounts and negotiate a settlement. Because we want that to show on your credit report as a zero balance settled in full. And that's going to mean you contact them. You say, listen, I want to pay this off. I realize it's been charged off, but I want to, you know, pay it in full. And, you know, you could probably do that at 40 cents on the dollar. You're going to want to get that in writing. But then once you do, you'll pay it. And then we want to follow up with a new credit report at annualcreditreport.com and make sure that they mark that down to zero. At that point, the key will be to keep your credit utilization low moving forward. So, you don't want to have, if you've only got a $300 limit on that credit card, you don't want to charge it up to $300 every month because that's going to, even though you're paying it off, it's going to be reported to the bureau that you're right up to the limit. And that's going to get up above, well above that 30% target for the credit utilization. So what you probably want to do is start paying for things with a debit card. Again, only budgeted items, but only have maybe one small recurring charge hit that credit card every month. Maybe it's a $12, you know, monthly subscription that you've already budgeted for, you plan for it, you pay it off in full every month. And that way, the balance on that open account is going to be just a very small percentage of the limit. And that's really going to help you. And if you get those old accounts paid off and we get this new credit card showing a very low credit utilization, that's going to start to rebuild your credit. And then from there, maybe you open, you know, another account, a secured credit card, you know, that you put a second charge on, a budgeted item. But, you know, I think the key is for you to show on-time payment history with zero balances on those old delinquent accounts. Does that make sense?
It does. And, you know, praise God for, I just needed somebody to tell me what to do in the beginning. And I just got so much from you. So I'm really excited about this.
Well, I'm delighted to hear that. We want to walk alongside you and help you here, Victoria. So if you have other questions, I'm going to have my team get your information, and we've got coaches that would be happy to help you here, you know, as you're trying to navigate this. I want to get somebody that can, on a volunteer basis, just walk alongside you and be a sounding board as you try to put all of this together. So you stay on the line. We'll get your information. I'll have one of our coaches reach out to you and just see if that person can just help you navigate this as you take some steps forward from here. But listen, you can do this. The Lord is your provider. He can be trusted. We're going to get this all cleaned up and you're going to live with a lot more peace of mind and really just, I think, joy without this all hanging over you. And I know how much of a weight that can be. And so I'm delighted to hear that that is starting to lift for you, Victoria. And I don't think it's by accident that you heard the broadcast today. So listen, God bless you. And you stay on the line. We'll get your information. And we we appreciate you being a part of the program. Wow. You know, that's what it's all about, folks. We make mistakes. We all do. We're sinners saved by the grace of Jesus. But at that point, once we surrender our lives to Him, it's about stewardship. How are we faithful with what He entrusts to us? Our time, with truth, with our relationships, with our talents, but yes, with our treasure as well, with the resources that pass through our hands. And we want to be faithful over a long time as we handle God's money. And we can do that together. That's what this program is all about. We're so delighted you're here today. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, more of your financial questions. Stuart in Texas, we're coming your way. We've got two lines open. Perhaps you have a question you'd like to put up for us to discuss today. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. By the way, I mentioned the FaithFi app. If you'd like to take control of your spending using the FaithFi app, you can do that on our website, faithfi.com. Just click on the app tab and you can learn more. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Is something missing in your spiritual life since you stopped going to church? Jesus never intended for us to live the Christian life alone. He wants us to be a part of a spiritual family of believers. Maybe you stopped going to church because you got hurt or disillusioned. Maybe you got offended or busy, or maybe sin got a foothold in your life. Perhaps COVID made you stop. Whatever the reason, isn't it time you started going again? I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
Here's Pastor Jeff Shree with From His Heart Ministries.
How many people come to church and they're chained to a bitter spirit? And all sorts of problems chained to greed and selfishness. Even when they want to break free, they can't seem to break free. Worship Him and praise Him and let Him remove the chains.
Learn to break the chains forever through Christ. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances. And FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. You know, in an earlier segment today, we were talking with Charlie about his dad, who's 85, and his dad purchased, at the request of a phone call with an advisor, $1 million immediate annuity. He didn't realize what he was getting, that he was surrendering control over the money. Even though he's getting a guaranteed income stream for life, he now has lost access to that $1 million. And unfortunately, a product like that used without a full view of someone's financial life and where an annuity potentially fits can be really harmful, because if you don't have access to your money, you're getting a return that doesn't keep up with inflation. Obviously, it could be something that is not really in your best interest. Often, though, that can be confused with something we talk a lot about here at American Family Association and on this program, and that is the benefits of a charitable gift annuity. And I want to just draw the distinction there for a moment, because I think charitable gift annuities can be a great tool for you to not only generate an income stream, but to bless a ministry like American Family Association with a significant gift at your death. Basically, a charitable gift annuity provides an income stream for life, which is the same as that immediate annuity we were talking about. But there's a lot of additional additional benefits. Number one, you get an immediate tax deduction. In most cases, it's a partial deduction. It's based on your life expectancy and anticipated income stream. So there's a tax benefit. There's a potential for a portion of the income stream to be tax-free, another benefit. You have the ability to put in multiple asset classes, so not only cash, but securities or even personal property into the charitable gift annuity. You have either reduced or eliminated capital gains, and you can support an organization you love and care about. Now, it is irrevocable, just like that immediate annuity, so it's got to be done within the context of a financial plan to make sure that it makes sense for you. But if you have other assets you can tap in the event that you need them, and you're trying to solve for an income stream, but also the ability to support a particular charity that's on your heart so that at your death they get the proceeds of that annuity, it can be a wonderful tool for you. So I would encourage you to check it out. In fact, the team at the American Family Association can tell you all of the details if this is something you'd like to explore. Just make sure you reach out to AFA at 800-326-4543, extension 205, and the team there would be delighted to talk you through all of the benefits. All right, back to the phones we go. Lynn is in Oregon. Lynn, how can I help you?
Hi, good morning. I was just asked to be a personal representative of somebody in their last will and testament. The document is calling me a personal representative. It's under the article nomination of fiduciaries. Is that anything to be concerned with? Or I want to help, but I don't want to get into trouble either.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't be concerned about it. Basically, you're going to just ensure that the estate is handled in a manner that's consistent with the wishes of the decedent, so the person that passes away. So you are what's called a fiduciary, which means you have to put the act in the best interests of the individual who's putting this estate in place, who would be the decedent, and you would be referred to as either a PR, a personal representative, or an executor. And then basically at that person's death, you would help to settle and distribute the estate as efficiently as you can and according to the directions that are outlined in the will and according to the probate laws of the state, which where the estate is being administered. So, it's an important job. It's one where it's helpful if you have a good relationship and you know the person, so you can act in a manner that's consistent with their wishes, and you may want to talk through that. Obviously, the will is going to be your guide in this regard, so you will act based on what's outlined in the will, and your only liability is if you fail to adhere to the duties and responsibilities that are outlined in the will in terms of distributing the estate. But generally speaking, it's something where you're going to collect the assets, you're going to prepare an inventory of the property, you're going to pay the various expenses and claims against the estate, and then you'll eventually distribute the property to the appropriate beneficiaries. So, it's not anything I would be concerned about, but I think you're wise to kind of go into it knowing what's expected of you so that you're ready to fulfill that responsibility. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. As I read this, I don't, other than paying off bills and taking care of any financial debts, or perhaps, I don't see where anything that's left over where it dictates. I know where he wants it to go, but it doesn't specify.
Okay. Yeah, so it doesn't say who is to receive the property upon his death?
Not that I can read.
Okay. Yeah. So I think, that would be a conversation to have with him and or his attorney that prepared it, so that you have clarity about how you can administer the estate and distribute the property and to get that to the appropriate beneficiary, which should be named in the will. That would be a very you know, important part of the will for that those individuals or individual to be named. So I would clarify that, and perhaps, you know, that may be a phone call with or a visit to with your, you know, the person who's put the will together, and you're acting on their behalf with the estate attorney who drafted the will, just so you can ask some questions and get clarity around that.
Okay. I think it was a paralegal that prepared it.
Okay. All right. That shouldn't be a problem. I think, this is very straightforward. This would be something that they would do every day. So I think, you just having an opportunity to be able to ask some questions and get some clarity, just so you're prepared to carry out your responsibilities would be, would make a lot of sense, and it'd be something they would be very willing to do.
Okay. All right. Thank you
okay.
so much.
All right. You're welcome, Lynn. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate it. Well, folks, we've covered a lot of ground today. You know, as we think about our role in handling God's money, it's a high calling. And, you know, it's one not to be taken lightly, but we also don't have to act in fear. We can get caught up in the what-if game, and this doesn't reply what I'm sharing now to any particular caller today, but I'm just saying, you know, often financial management can be confusing and overwhelming, and it can come with it a lot of, regrets about the past and a lot of concern about the future. And as God's people, I think we need to think about not only money being a tool, but money being a testimony. And how we handle it, how we trust God in that, and not getting caught up in the what-if game, which really is a spiritual trap because it has us focused on the future, which we don't know, only the Lord knows, and it takes our eyes off trusting in Him and places it on worry. And the Bible speaks very clearly and plainly to being on our guard against getting caught up in that trap of worry. So I think the opportunity for us today is to just consistently, and this applies to every area of our lives, renew our minds around the things of the Lord, to recenter our attention on His promises, which are true and can be trusted, to accept our role as stewards or managers of everything God has given to us, and then to familiarize ourselves with the principles that we find in His Word about how we should manage His money. And when we do that and we understand the heart of God, that the messages of this world around materialism and greed and fear are not the way of the Lord. Instead, we find our identity rooted in Christ. We see money is now a tool, not an end, but a means to an end to accomplish God's purposes, including providing for ourselves and our loved ones, but also meeting the needs of others through our generosity, and that it can help us to focus not on the temporal, but the eternal as we invest in the kingdom of God. That's a proper perspective. And ultimately, even in the midst of the uncertainty like we see all around us today, we can know that God is on the throne, He can be trusted, and we don't have to worry because we know ultimately where our home is. We know ultimately where our destiny is, and that's with the Father once we've surrendered our lives to Him. And this life, it's but a vapor, but He has a high calling on our lives right now. If we're still here, He's not done with us yet. So the question is, how can we live for Him and make a difference in the lives of people around us? And how can we use money as a tool to accomplish that? And that's ultimately, I think, what we need to be focused on, not getting caught up in the things of this world, but really being invested in eternity. How do we do that? Well, namely through our generosity. And that's one of the privileges that God gives us to be a part of His activity, to be participants in the work of the Lord. So today, perhaps if money has a grip over your life and you're living in fear, maybe you ought to loosen that grip a little bit. Maybe just start to give a little bit away ever so slowly and see if that grip doesn't begin to fall away. And as we trust God and see Him faithful over and over and over again, it allows us to be confident in the future and in the hope of Jesus Christ that we all enjoy. That's my prayer and my desire for you today. So thankful for each of you that called today, inviting us into your lives and your stories. That's what this program is all about. I'll look forward to doing it all over again with you tomorrow. In the meantime, if we can do anything to serve you, don't hesitate to check out our website at faithfi.com. You can jump into our community there and post a question or a comment, get feedback from others on their stewardship journey. You can download the FaithFi app, and you can even support the ministry when you click give. Hey, on behalf of my team today, Robert Sutherland, Devin Patrick, and Pat Montague, I'm Rob West. Delighted to have you on board with us today. I hope you have a great rest of your day, and then come back and join us tomorrow. We'll do it all over again. In the meantime, may God bless you. Go out and live for Jesus. Use His money as a tool to accomplish His purposes. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.